Kaboom!
Hey, what's up, guys? Ty, Brick of Culture, Bench Clear Media. So we had such a great response from the video I did on Friday just about building loyalty in the sports car world, but I wanted to recap some of the comments that we got and also just summarize the top five things I think you need to do to build loyalty in your sports car business, or just your presence in general, right? It doesn't have to be, you know, a legit business, but just your presence and building a brand. And then I'm also going to announce the giveaway winner. I did a randomization of the commenters, and we'll announce that here in the end. So there's five things that stood out to me, and this is a combination of the comments that we received and also just what I think are the top five things that I think you absolutely have to prioritize, and then kind of the practical takeaways for each. The number one thing that I think stood out to me, and this seems like a no-brainer, but sometimes people tend to forget this, is being honest. Like if you try to pull punches on people in the sports car world, people will see through that really quickly. I didn't drop it off at the post office, or I did drop it off at the post office and it's the post office's fault and they're processing things, blah, blah, blah. Like, look, man, like we've been through the ringer, and people understand like when people are lying, and they can sense it even through messages. People can sense it. So I think just looking at comments and my overall take is the number one thing you have to make sure you do is just think and be honest, man. Like there's no reason to try to fake something just to get yourself a couple more days, because in the end it's not going to help you. Another great way to be honest is to give accurate descriptions. I think Ronald Wilder put that in the comments below about just the importance of accurate descriptions. And I think that's a very fair point. Number two is don't shy away from building relationships. Like even if it's an e-commerce transaction, you're not seeing the person face to face. Like get to know your buyers the best way you can. If you see a repeat buyer, like send a note to them and say, hey, what I see you came back. That's awesome. What do you collect? Like where are you located? Like what how many kids do you have? Like what can I do to make this even more engaging experience for you? Jessica Yoakum mentioned, Les, who sets aside and sorts Pirates cards for them because they know that Jessica and her family, whatever, they collect Pirates cards, and he goes above and beyond to make that kind of a thing for them. And that type of stuff stands out to people, and you only can do that if you just take the time to get to know somebody or understand what they like and what they don't like. So number two is focus on building relationships. One thing that I do is I do have a spreadsheet that I'll use to update. I don't update it every day or even weekly. I'll throw a username in there or a name, and I'll just put kind of like tendencies or comments about the buyer, and I'll just put a quick note about what I know about them or what they collect. So when I do run into situations where I have a bunch of extras or I want to just blow somebody away, which is kindness, I know how to do it for them. So just a little food for thought. Number three, over-communicate. I mean, obviously communication is key, but over-communication I think is even more of a key. You think about it in terms of the transaction experience and how you buy things and how you like to know, like, hey, when something was shipped, when something was packed, when it was, you know, dropped off at the post office. I get it. You can't do all that kind of manually. There's systems that you can take advantage of, like Shipping Easy, right? If you use that for your shipping platform, it's super easy to set up a kind of automated email system that even works with eBay, right? Where they can email the user and kind of keep them updated as it progresses through the system. You know, they can sign up for text updates, all that stuff. You can create an email list and MailChimp, or just do a lot of that automated through eBay. Whatever system you use or platform you use, you can focus on communication. You think about when there's an issue and you're telling a user that you're going to follow up on something. Like, even if you're following up and you don't have an update, like, update them. Let them know, hey, I'm working on it. Nothing new today, but I'm digging into it. Like, stay tuned. I'll keep you updated as things progress, but wanted to let you know, like, hey, I'm still working on it. Like, those things matter to people. Just knowing that you're thinking about it and you're not just kind of letting this slide under the table. fall between the cracks, it's important for them. So I would just err on the side of over communication in this hobby. And a lot of these things I can apply to any business, but we're thinking about the hobby in general. Number four, and this is an important one because I think our pride gets in the way a lot of times of us being really good at customer service. And number four is just deal with it. Just suck it up. You're going to have issues. You're going to have situations where, look, you're right. The seller is right. You are right. But it's just not worth trying to fight that battle of proving that you're right when you could just easily provide the refund, provide kind of the reconciliation, and check that box and move on. It's better for you in the long run, just in the sense that you don't have to exert energy on things that it's probably not going to get you much more upside. And in eBay's case, you're probably going to lose the battle anyway, right? So just make it easy for the buyer to know, like, you're just going to suck it up and deal with it. Obviously, when there's fraudulent issues or they're working the system, like, you got to stand your ground a little bit. But when there's issues like USPS tracking is delayed, or there's a little item not as described battle, like, just suck it up, guys. I promise you, like, in the end, you'll be a much more happy seller when you just kind of have that attitude that you're not going to let $20, $30, $40 issues, you know, impact your ability to just enjoy what you do. You know, a few people mentioned this Topps Vintage 316. I think Chris and Danny mentioned it. This kind of goes back to the golden rule, where if you can just do unto others as you want them to do to you. And I think we would all agree, like, when there's an issue that arises, we would hope, in our case, for the buyer, that the seller would just say, you know what? Yeah, you're right. Here's your refund. Like, go deal with it. It'll send positive vibes and help you in the long run. So I would just say number four, just deal with it. And then number five, you got to know when to cut the cord. And what I mean by that is you're going to face situations where there are people, there are buyers that are much more of a time suck, a time vampire than they're worth. Like, you just need to know when to block somebody, move on, not get in the argument with them, and just know, like, you're going to take one on the cheek here, and you're going to basically pay to get them out of your world. and know when to not focus on people that you can't win with. Because if you can't win with them, you got to pull them out of your ecosystem, and you got to go focus on people that you can win with. It's just not worth your time to deal with that stuff. And you deal with enough people on eBay or any platform, you know pretty quickly, just by the way people communicate, that this is going to be a no-win situation, and you got to figure out a way to get out of it as quick as you can. You know, either provide a refund, or just deal with the shipping issues or description issues the best way you can. Block them, move on, and hopefully never deal with them again. So that would be my feedback on that one. Just kind of know when you need to pull away and not focus on certain people, because all they're going to do is just bring you down. And you have to, your job as a seller is to keep your attitude and your approach consistent, and for that to be kind of contagious and people to want to come back and deal with you because you have a focus. So those are my five things. Be honest at all costs. Build relationships where you can. Over-communicate, not just communicate, but over-communicate. Learn to just deal with certain situations and take it on the chin. And then number five, the tough one, learn when to cut the cord on certain people. So those are my five quick things, quick tips on building loyalty. And then finally, the giveaway.
If you've been in the hobby for more than a day, then you know how fast the sports card market moves. There are now more options than ever to buy, sell, and research your cards. One of the most frustrating hurdles in the hobby is the fees when selling your cards. You know, those other popular marketplaces, the ones with their average seller transaction fee of 10%, the ones that don't have the seller's interest in mind. Wait, what? Who would do that? Well, hold on to your horses. No, not those horses. Welcome to the Card Flip, a place where we want to provide a simple alternative to buying and selling cards. No clutter, just you, graded cards, sealed wax, and the easiest of transactions. So what do you say? Are you in? Great! Welcome to the Card Flip, the seller's marketplace.
So thank you for your comments in the last video. 2021 Bowman Blaster and 2021 Bowman Value Pack. Going to, I randomized it, the number three commenter is Purisfil, P-U-R-A-C-E-S-F-U-L. Congratulations. You are the winner. So I'll make a quick comment on that video and tell you how to contact me, and I'll send these out to you. So appreciate all the comments, and thanks for watching. All right, see ya. Bye.